Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, Muncie Civic's Youth Theater Education League presents A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare on the main stage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Order tickets online at MuncieCivic.org. July 25th, it's the Steel Drivers, free at Cannon Commons for the Muncie Three Trails Music Series.
Five cold walls without parole. Lord have mercy.
July 31st, August 1st, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Minnetrista, it's Fairies, Sprites, and Lights. And on August 26th, Muncie Symphony Orchestra has their Picnic and Pops concert at 7 p.m. It's the season across Indiana for county fairs, the places of pork tents, elephant ears, midway rides, and 4-H kids showing their skills in everything from animal care even to robotics. Even the governor gets into the act. Mike Pence was at the Shelby County Fair the day we stopped by, and we had a chat. First, though, we talked with the local Purdue Extension director. It was just after the 4-H Awards, and the place was still pretty busy, as you could tell from the background noise.
Scott Gabbard, and I'm the Purdue Extension Ag and Natural Resources Educator and the County Extension Director for Shelby County, Indiana. Well, one thing that the 4-H kids learn is to adapt. And so they learn that very early, especially if they have an animal back there in the barn, something like that, to where even the animals themselves, some will do things perfectly easy and some not so much. And then the weather can really affect them. So if it's nice and cool in the morning, the hogs want to run. And if it's hot, then they don't want to move very much. And so you learn to compensate, you learn to work with that. And sometimes you learn to smile even when inside you might be screaming or crying inside. So they do that very well.
What kind of things do the students get out of participating in 4-H?
Well, the one thing that I think they learn the best is that they learn to do their day-to-day operations, the chores, the normal husbandry, the better care of the animals. But then they also learn the long game. And so these projects, for some people might view it as only a few months. The reality is it's usually a year-round project for several of them. And then not only that, then you have some that really get into it, the genetics of it, and try to build a breeding program. And so you're talking multiple years. And that's really neat to see. As you see some of these young men and women, as they start out, they will go ahead and they will, mom and dad are learning too, if you will. They learn the 4-H lingo, if you will. And then that first year, it's rough. And second year, it's a little smoother. And then by the 10th year rolls around, they really are pros at it, and they're really good at it. So it works well.
How have county fairs, would you say, changed since your own childhood?
I would say the livestock shows are smaller. The species have changed. We've seen a pretty big species shift. And what I mean by that is cattle used to be really big, and so was the hog shows. And now we've gone to some smaller animals. The big one is probably the goats. And that's probably not only from a cultural shift in the community and markets over time, but then also the urbanization and the footprint that a goat needs versus a beef cattle. And then not only that, from the markets, 2007, 2008, feeding a beef cow got really expensive and versus a goat especially. So. That's one, probably the biggest change that I've seen as far as the what you would see the traditional cows and sows has transitioned more to goats and some smaller animals.
What might people in the city not understand about what's going on at county fairs and the 4-H part of the site? I mean, what do they not understand about country life and about what the 4-H students do?
I would say, especially the 4-H'ers that are really big into their animal, is that it's almost like a collector of any sort. So, and what I mean by that is that you've got someone, it's just a pickup truck, okay? And then other people will know it's not a pickup truck. It's a GMC, manufactured in 2005. It has this engine and all those things. And they can see it literally going down the road. And these kids can spot a very good animal and its structure, its muscularity, and the overall the breed of the animal, all those things on the fly. And they're good at it. Some of those young men and women, they go on and make it into career as livestock researchers, or even if they, and if they have a farm themselves, building up their own farm's genetics and making the bigger, faster, better animal for tomorrow. And they learn that at a pretty early age. It's really neat to see that come over time. And so it's like most thing where professionals do it. I realize that the 4-H kids aren't professionals. However, they do it a lot. They're very dedicated to that. And so they get a very trained eye over time, and they make it look easy. And so that's probably the other thing too. Some of these kids make it look really, really easy, and they weigh 90 pounds and they're moving a 1,300 pound animal around the ring.
These people learn sort of self-reliance, responsibility, how to follow through, how to not let other people down. I mean,
sure, I know that a lot of people might focus on the ribbon. I know that, like last night, our showman, our overall showman, Megan Spiegel, she won it as far as the overall showman, and it was a very tough competition last night. But they don't realize the miles she's walked, I guess, or the miles she's had to walk to get there. And I can say that again and again, is where these young men and women, by the time they get to where people notice them, per se, I guess I get the privilege to see them when they were much younger, when they stumbled, they fell, when they were crying, when they were just absolutely got beat, but then they got back up. And they learned from it, and they became better because of it. And I think that's a good life lesson, and that's why these kids go on, in my opinion, and excel later on in life, because they realize that there's a short-term setbacks, but then there's a long-term goals. And that's what they learn very well, because I've seen every single one of them that I could think in my mind, kids that have done, young men and women that I'm very, very proud of, have had challenges back here. And they've had tears, and they've had things that you wish, you know, as even as a parent, I'm a parent myself, and you don't want them to go through that, but yet in the long term they become better of it. And so I would say that's probably the big thing. And then I see them come back occasionally, and so these young men and women, they learn skills here, or they've started out as a crops project and now they're insurance scouts or adjusters, and they go right back home and they go back on the farm, or they start their own operation from scratch, or it might go into another segue into another profession. But they're still using the ability to speak, the ability to think on your feet, the ability to compensate, all those things that they learn by doing a lot of the work that they do back here and elsewhere with their projects.
Life on the farm has changed a lot over the years. Are there still virtues to this life that we could celebrate and talk about in terms of the things that they offer people to live here? There's still reasons to be out here, to work in agriculture?
Oh, absolutely. I would say, of course, there's a technology change, which I think would blow some people away if they actually got into some of the rigs of some of these vehicles that are out going across the farm. I mean, they're no less complicated than an airplane right now. But as far as the overall, the things that they're gaining, some things don't change, and the ability to see things grow. And I could say that, you know, my gardeners and other people that I work with too, there's a certain special quality when people can learn and appreciate where their food's coming from, the ability to grow it, to know that it's going to feed a nation, if you will, and other people too, great deal of pride that they take into doing that, and then taking care of our resources for us to grow that food sustainably.
Scott Gabbard, Purdue Extension Director for Shelby County. We talked with him at the Shelby County Fair and liked the way he put it all into perspective. Coming up, a young woman who's in 4-H now and wants to follow her father into farming.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
It's county fair season, a reminder for many folks of happy days, checking out the rides, the food, and the 4-H competition. That includes Governor Mike Pence, who we ran into at the Shelby County Fair.
For me, ever since I was a kid, the summer is the county fair. The way it brings the community together and really celebrates you know, our youth celebrates everything about the local community and the local economy. And of course, it's just a whole lot of fun in the middle of the summer. It's just it is an irresistible venue for me. And now that I'm governor of Indiana, I take every chance to get out and walk the sawdust and walk the midways of Indiana's county fairs.
And the 4-H students that you meet?
It's very impressive. You know, 4-H, when we were growing up, was a great program, but now the diversity of opportunities and disciplines that are available in 4-H are incredible. You have the livestock competitions that we've always had. You have the food competitions we've always had. But now there's aerospace, there's robotics, there's a whole range of areas that really help to connect young people to careers and to futures in their community and across the state that are really exciting. I mean, it at the very core, 4-H celebrates agriculture in this state, but increasingly, as you saw tonight with the with all of the grand champions, that it really, really celebrates so many occupations, so many interests, but the discipline that it takes for these kids to earn that top spot, it's a great tribute to them, great tribute to their families, and it really contributes, I think, to their ability to be successful all throughout their lives.
Governor, can you think of a time you were at one of these kinds of things and you thought, boy, that really sums this up?
Yeah, I just have so many memories growing up in Bartholomew County of heading to the fair. Once the fair opened, being out at the county fair every single night is part and parcel of the memories of my youth. And I think that's true for an awful lot of Hoosiers. And I think it's even more true in the busy lives that we all have today, that people see the county fair, to no less extent they see the Indiana State Fair, as a little bit of an oasis in the middle of our year where we kind of all come together as a community and just really celebrate everything that's great about our past, present, and future.
Do you ever hit any of this fair food? Are you an elephant ear guy?
I do. I have had things I never thought could be fried. I anticipate that experience this summer as well.
That's Governor Mike Pence at the Shelby County Fair. We're taking a look today at county fairs and visited the folks down in Shelbyville.
Country roads, take me home.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
County fair season is here, meaning the 4-H kids get to show what they've worked on so hard all year. Their adult leaders have been working hard, too. In Shelby County, that includes Krista Bowlby, a 4-H youth extension educator.
Taught kindergarten through 12th grade. I did instrumental music is what I started in as a music major. I got a master's in secondary education, and then I started teaching kids life skills, not kids that were not the best in school, but they weren't troublemakers, just trying to encourage them to improve on their skills and their study skills.
Tell us about the difference that 4-H makes.
4-H helps kids develop life skills, and there's hundreds of life skills out there. Decision making, problem solving, communication skills. We have a lot of public speaking projects that the kids speak in front of the groups. It gives them that confidence to get out in front of groups. We have a lot of projects that take care of that. Example, livestock. It's hard for the kids to get out in front of an audience, but our public speaking also helps address that. Our kids run all of our meetings. They have offices in the meeting. They're the president, vice president, and they all have speaking chances. They do demonstrations in the meetings where they demonstrate on how to do a task or how to do a skill. So that's just one of the few life skills that 4-H teaches. Time management, getting things done. Kids are busy. So our 4-H kids are very busy. They're also in sports and lots of other activities. So to get this done as well, it's a lot of time management on their part.
Based on your experience as an educator, talk about what the qualities were that you saw in children who came from the farm environments and 4-H involvement, that sort of thing. What were the positive attributes that you saw in those kids?
Yeah, from what I've been used to in education and moving to 4-H, these kids are self-motivated. They're very creative. They can think outside the box. If you look at their projects, you're just overwhelmed, you know, astounded by what they come up with. And there's a lot of rules they have to follow, and they have to stay within those parameters, but it's very creative side to them.
Can you think of a time when you realized, boy, this person really has, they've really benefited from this? Can you think of a time?
One student who's very gifted anyway, and she was a homeschooled young lady, wants to be an author, and she's studying to be an author right now, and she's written several books, and we have a project called Do Your Own Thing, so she brings a novel that she wrote for the project. That really had stuck with me, and now she is going on, and she wants to author books, and science fiction books, I think, is what she's interested in. Just very interesting. Just this last week, probably the thing that touched me most, we have an autistic child who his mom's got him showing animals in the ring, and it's hard for him. He walked out with this huge cow, you know, several hundred pounds, and he was able to walk through the ring and do that. So it teaches kids of all levels, whether very gifted or you know, like the autistic boy who just did an amazing job. With tears, mom standing there with tears running down her face because she fights this, and she's got him to that point and every day. So she works with that.
How's 4-H changed over the years?
It's changed a lot. A lot of people think it's just for the farm kid. I was excited about it after leaving the education. The reason why I came into public education to 4-H is because there's so many other projects. Like I said, robotics is very popular in our county. We are starting a new project called Arduino, which is kind of it's above my head. I have 100 and some volunteers. I have these engineers that come in and help, thank goodness, because they are teaching the kids Arduino where they can program. If their microwave goes out at home in the future, 20 years from now, you don't have to go buy a new microwave. If they have these skills to reprogram a control board, then they can fix the microwave. So we're getting ready to kick that one off this fall. Well, lots of robotics. We had a robotics competition this week, and kids are programming robots to do a task. So that's one of the main things. And the farm machinery, it all ties back to agriculture anyway, because our combines have so much electronics on it and robotics on them. That's how it's changed, I think, in our county. And it's not all for farm kids. We have moved from a farm base, and I've put a lot of emphasis on the city kids, getting them involved in it as well. And they realize, oh yeah, it's for me as well. We have a national 4-H science experiment that we do. And this year it was rockets, and we launched rockets. So we taught kids about aerospace, and that was one of our feature projects this year. And we've done several of those. So we're science-based. All of our projects are science-based. And I know the schools, that's what they're trying to incorporate. So we're just another avenue to help the schools out, get the education to the kids in science and engineering and technology.
Olivia Cassidy is 17 years old and plans to take over the family farm after school. She's active in 4-H and talked to us about the program.
It's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of people. You create relationships that last a lifetime. It's a lot of fun. It's a good experience. It teaches you responsibility, skills that you're going to need in your life.
What's it like being on a farm?
It's a lot of fun. Hard work. It teaches you how to work. It teaches you responsibilities.
Can you think of a time where your parents asked a lot of you for responsibility?
I've had to learn responsibilities because I've had to take care of my pigs, and my parents couldn't do that for me. I had to do it myself. I had to feed them, walk them, train them, do everything for them.
When you get older?
When I get older, after I graduate from high school, I'm going to farm with my dad. He's going to teach me everything I need to know. I want to have my own show pig business too, and sell pigs.
Is life on the farm tough? Is it hard?
At times, it just depends.
Tell me about that a little bit.
It's not always easy because you don't want too much rain, but you want rain. You don't want a drought. It just depends on market prices too.
Tell me a story about what it's like. I didn't grow up on a farm, and I don't know what that's like.
When I was 9, they gave me my first set of pigs to take care of. I showed in third grade. I started out in 2008 showing pigs. And yeah, 4-H is a lot of fun. I've made really good friends in 4-H. It made me come out, be able to talk to people. Before, I was really shy, and it helped me come out of like my shyness, and I was able to talk to complete strangers now.
Do you feel kind of an attachment to the land? I mean,
Yes. I love the farmland because my great-grandpa and my grandpa and my dad, everybody in my family, they've worked hard on it. They worked hard for the money to buy the land. Land is very expensive, and my family have grown up there, and I'm attached to it.
What would people who don't live out in the country, what would they not understand about?
People who are not from out here may not understand how hard farmers work. They think that they're poor, but I mean, they really do work hard to provide food for everybody. They may not appreciate it.
Well, I was born in a small town,
That's high school student Olivia Cassidy, who's grown up on her family farm and plans to join her father in the business after high school. We also heard from Krista Bowlby, a 4-H youth extension educator in Shelby County. Our topic is a familiar one to many folks, the county fair. But sometimes it's good to peek behind the scenes just a bit to the people still living the tradition, and at least with 17-year-old Olivia, someone planning to carry that on for another generation. You know, and while we're talking about carrying things on for another generation, can I make a pitch? And I say this knowing that we don't have a whole lot of special events going on at the moment, and we are in between pledge drives and that sort of thing. But I do want to make this little pitch for Indiana Public Radio. I hope you'll keep us in mind. Here in the summer, things kind of slow down a little bit, but we keep Indiana Weekend going, and behind the scenes, Sean Ashcraft and everybody are working really hard to get ready for a full fall of special events and things. And you can help make a difference for that. And you've been very generous. I know that. But if I could just make a special appeal to keep us in mind, you know, this is the season when we head out on vacations and people make, you know, it's kind of budget for the remainder of the year or for special things during the summer. Could I ask you to keep us in mind, maybe for something special, if you could? Could you think about going to indianapublicradio.org and looking at our, the page for contributing, or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. I know this sounds like a pledge drive, and it's really not, but it's just that time of year where we're in between all the special events and everything. Everybody's thinking of vacations, and, you know, it's really the time of year. I'm kind of grateful for the stuff that we have. You know, we live in a wonderful part of the country, a wonderful part of Indiana, and Indiana Public Radio's, I hope you feel, part of that. So thanks a lot for being with us and for keeping us in mind. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
There's a certain special quality when people can learn and appreciate where their food's coming from. The ability to grow it, to know that it's going to feed a nation, if you will, and other people too. A great deal of pride that they take into doing that, and then taking care of our resources for us to grow that food sustainably.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.